Now, that speech from the president was the centerpiece on a day of festivities here in Washington, D.C. It all began with a march across the National Mall, where thousands gathered against a backdrop of tight security and gray weather. NPR's Hanzi Lo Wang was in the crowd.
We don't need no music! We got so much hope!
So much more came from a youthful chorus of students from Alabama State University. They helped lead the march from the steps of Georgetown University's law school, arm-in-arm with original marchers from the 1963 March on Washington, including Mary Jane Flowers Thomas of Atlanta, Georgia.
Dr. King never knew our name. John Lewis never knew our names. Just too many of us, but we had our purpose.
Thomas was 19 when she arrived in Washington, D.C. that Wednesday morning in 1963, just one of more than a quarter million Americans who gathered in front of the Lincoln Memorial. She spent 5 days and five nights behind bars for asking to stay in a whites-only establishment as part of a sit-in, and she was released just days before the march.
I was wearing a red and white top that I used as a part of the initiation process for my sorority 5 days after I came out of the Savannah jail.
Today, the retired high school economics teacher calls herself one of many foot soldiers of the civil rights movement against racism, a problem that's still out there in 2013, said 19-year-old Tyron Spriggs, a junior at historically black Alabama State University. It's just not as obvious as segregated lunch counters and water fountains.
I think that it just got swiped under the rug. And it's just hiding, and it's going to come out eventually.
We all think we've come a long way, but we all lock our doors if we're in a black neighborhood. If you go on a bus and you have choices of seats, most white people will sit with the white person. It's just saying I have black friends isn't enough.
Carol Dale of Fenwick Island, Delaware, who is white and 64, says she's hopeful that there will be less racial discrimination among younger generations. It's optimism that's shared by 53-year-old Ron Wims, who drove from Virginia Beach to D.C. with his wife, prepared with umbrellas and a full backpack. What did you bring today?
Water.
How much water?
Probably about a gallon.
On Wednesday, water came from off and on drizzles and stretches of steady rain over the National Mall. 66-year-old Julie Woodward of New York City braved the elements to wait in line for almost 2 hours to enter the main viewing area in front of the Lincoln Memorial, before giving up after confronting hefty security.
We were down in the midst of that mess there. You see the white tents there? That's all those people are on security lines to have their bags checked.
Long lines that included a few attendees who fell ill, some to dehydration and heat exhaustion. Medical response arrived, and uniformed soldiers later passed out free water bottles. On the white marble steps of the Lincoln Memorial, national leaders took turns addressing the crowd. They spoke from the same spot where Martin Luther King Jr. declared his dream 50 years ago. Among the speakers was Congressman and civil rights leader John Lewis, one of the original speakers in 1963.
50 years later, we can ride anywhere we want to ride. We can stay where we want to stay. Those signs that said white and colored are gone. And you won't see them anymore.
Except in a museum, a book, or a video, Lewis said to applause from the crowd. The lineup at the podium also included members of Martin Luther King Jr.'s family, plus Oprah Winfrey, and former Presidents Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. The speaker that moved Renee Sutterith of Atlanta, Georgia, the most was President Barack Obama.
Well, if you could see me right now, you see my eyes are watery. I am so touched. President Obama would not have been able to deliver that speech and be in the White House if it was not for God and Martin Luther King and the people marching here 50 years ago today.
And Sutterith said, we still got work to do. Hanzi Lo Wang, NPR News, Washington.
Hanzi Lo Wang covers race, ethnicity, and culture for NPR's Code Switch team.